We have a special message this morning I want to share with you. There's a couple that often sits right over here, Brittany and Eric Klein, who are in Jerusalem today. And Eric sent me a couple messages this morning, and I asked for permission to share them, and I got it, and it's fabulous. Some of you who are Facebook friends with them have been following when they were in Egypt, and you see the pyramids or a camel in one of them, and now they're on, they're on to Israel, and there have been pictures the last few days from Israel. This is a blessing that someone who's usually right here is right there. And we're going to read today and talk about Simeon and Anna in the place where Eric and Brittany are going to be, are there right now. That's a great gift from God. I'm grateful for that. So here it is. Hi, Pastor Dave. I'm on my way to Jerusalem and will be entering the city about the time your morning service should be starting. This trip has already made a significant spiritual impact on me, and we still have all of the holy city in Bethlehem left to do. Of the many things buzzing about my head, I have been able to take stock of the goodness which God has blessed me. My thoughts turn to Jacob's Well and the wonderful community which surrounds Britt and I there. I'm so thankful for being able to call you all my family in Christ. He's talking about you. I'm grateful of the growth and encouragement we have received and hopeful for the opportunity to spend more time together as God allows. I hope your morning celebrating Advent is filled with love and truth, and the presence of Christ is with you all. With my prayers, thanks, and love, Eric. So then I wrote back, Eric, such treasure, this note and this trip. I will share it with the congregation this morning. God bless. And then he says, this has truly been a trip of the lifetime, and I'm seeing God weave strands together and reveal his presence in remarkable ways. I'm journaling my trip so I can continue to process all the thoughts and emotions I'm encountering in this too short of time. My internet is patchy, but I'd love to meet up with you to talk with you about it when I get back. God is unfathomably truly good. Now, I remember when my mother went to the Holy Land in 1973, I think it was. It changed her. But so many people who have gone say this trip will change your life. And I don't know exactly what it is, but I think having a literalness and just following their picture trail, a literalness of actual place where Jesus walked, the Sea of Galilee, the Via della Rosa, all these things cements the truth of it in a powerful way. So, Lord, thank you for that, and bless Eric so much. Well, you heard the story that Tate and Chelsea read to us this morning. It's the story of Anna and Simeon. Is that slide number one? Okay, all right. I moved them around, and I've got a terrible memory, so there we go. When Scott sang that song, which is a song that's been a favorite of ours, of he and I, since more than 30 years ago, this story of Simeon, and we're going to connect the story of Anna with it, it's remarkable. It's remarkable that God singled out two very unassuming, absolutely humble servants for an honor that only God could bestow. And that he opened himself up. God opened himself up to these two people. And so we're going to read it again and we're going to talk about it. But throughout Advent, we want to be asking ourselves this question, how does this connect with me? How does this connect with me? Okay? Luke 2. Follow along if you'd like. Now, before we start this, I want you to recognize this is on the eighth day after Jesus is born. And so they would have traveled from Bethlehem the distance to Jerusalem. They would have walked, maybe. All of our creches would show that Mary came on a donkey. But we don't know. But this is soon after the birth of this baby. But they're fulfilling what the law of Moses required. So let's start with verse 25 in chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. You see here that I say of these two characters that they're amazing pictures, examples, challenges to us of patience and hope and a proper disregard for this world. And that's a very important line. Stay right where you are in Luke, but we're going to read something out of 1 John. And I've got to confess something, but maybe you can identify with this. As a young Christian in my early 20s, I didn't like this. I didn't like this. Why? Because I wanted to live life. I wanted to experience planet Earth. I wanted all that planet Earth could give me. I think I've had that. You know what? Now I love this passage. Not because I've had all that stuff, but because I think, and I think some of the older folks in our congregation can say, this is so true. That life is full of a brokenness that the next life simply does not have. And even in the last couple years, I've been thinking about this. And I want you to do business with this. You know, I say to my kids, I long for Jesus to come back. And I know when I say that, they're thinking, but my kids are little. You know, I don't want all this uproar with my kids being little. And here's where I've come to in this, and I ask you to think about it. If you could give your kids the opportunity to live fully alive in a sorrowless, painless, joyful, in his presence, his fullness of joy, you would do that. And that is what Jesus is going to bring. He's going to bring such blessing that Paul says he can't even describe it. And so I want you to hear what John says in 1 John 2, verse 15. And as I said, I didn't used to like this. Now I love it. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, why is that? Why do I say proper disregard for this world? Because to some enormous degree, this world is the domain of the enemies of God. It's the domain of Satan and his minions. And so if we say, this is everything, this is what I want, then we're saying we want to live in a realm where Satan is alive and well. And I don't think that's what we want. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Simeon and Anna understood this, and we don't really know their background stories, but I just think we see them as humble, as loving God so much. Oops, got cut off. The word see was somehow cut off there. S-E-E. They now see. Let's get back to our scripture now. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So now, God has chosen this humble man and has said, I'm going to gift you in a singular, remarkable way, and that is this. You're not going to die until you see Messiah. Wow. Wow. Now here is what I find so beautiful about this story. He recognizes Messiah. He sees this baby. He's in the temple all the time, but he sees this mother, father, and baby. And the Holy Spirit is upon him. The Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit, the great teacher. The Holy Spirit, the revealer of these things, says, Simeon, that's him. And what is Simeon's response? It is, now that I've held him in my arms, now that I've seen him, I'm ready to go. This tells us what we need to know about this guy, and that is his economy is based on the kingdom of God. Now, here's something really important. We'll see the same in Anna in a minute. They don't see this baby as, aha, I was right, you were all wrong, I was right, you're wrong. There's not a bit of that in this. You know why? People who get really close to God learn something about themselves. I think I said this last week, but some of you weren't here. I'll say it again. I just heard Billy Graham quoted when he said, when he comes to God in prayer, he comes so broken in his own sin. And this is what we learn about people of deep and mature faith. They don't come to God in deep and mature faith and say, man, I'm better and better and better. They come back and they come to God and say, you are greater and greater and greater, and I need you. So here we have two old people. I hope you read the story in the program that I wrote about a couple from my childhood. And as a little boy, let's say I'm about Andrew's age, Andrew Johnson, I'm about that age. I get to know them very well. I go to their house and all this. But here's what I know about them, that above all things, they love God. That gave me some comfort. It also scared me a little bit. Because they could talk about God so freely and so openly, and it was like, you know, a little bit's fine, but let's not, no. They had had enough pain in their lives that they'd made the decision that Christ was all they needed. And they lived like that, and I bless them now, looking back on that. So we have Simeon and Anna, who, this is so important, friends, they don't see this baby as a confirmation that they're right. They see this baby as a confirmation that God loves and forgives them, and he grants them mercy and the consolation of Israel. They're living under a godless reign, and they know that, but they believe that God is still the sovereign and that he is going to bring his kingdom. And they long for his kingdom because they long for his glory, not their own. They long for his glory. And so these two saints, Anna it's interesting in studying about her. Some people say, well, she's 84. I read it and say she's 84. Some people say she was in the temple for 84 years. I go with she was 84. That's sufficiently old. Simeon just as old. Bruce, 84? 84? Okay. But here's the thing about it. When they see this baby, they see their Savior. Now, I don't think for a minute that they understood the cross and that they knew about all that, but they did understand this. Their whole lives, they had celebrated the feasts and festivals of Judaism. They're in the temple, for heaven's sakes. They're in the place of sacrifice. And we didn't read this, but Mary and Joseph would have brought birds for a sacrifice for this particular rite that he's going to undergo. So they're familiar with this. And they understand this. They need a Savior. They're not getting younger. They need a Savior. They're not perfect. They need a Savior. And God, in his rich mercy, has said to them, to each of them, this is him. Now, there is a question that I wonder about, and you can wonder too. How well did they know each other? According to this artist, I think they knew each other pretty well. They're pretty comfortable, it looks like. But the temple is a busy place. The temple has people coming and going. The temple has all these kinds of rituals going on all the time. And trust me, they had seen probably thousands of babies. Especially Anna, if she's been there for all these years and nothing had ever been revealed to her like this. So that is really profound that God, in his rich mercy, said, Simeon, Anna, I have a gift for you. And you know what's cool? We're talking about them today. We're talking about them today, and I think that's great. So let's keep going here. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and this is our painting here, and we have a beautiful painting at home that's up of Simeon. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Now here's what's so important, friends. Simeon and Anna both recognize something that we have to recognize. Salvation is in a person. It's not in an idea. It's not in a plan. It's not in a religious act. It's in a person. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He gets something that so much of the Jewish world doesn't get at that time, that Jesus is for everyone. What a thing. What a revelation. And for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Now, I think this is important too. We have here Mary, who was told by the angel something, but based on what we read last week, and based on all we know, her becoming pregnant as a young teenager without an apparent father, oh, that Joseph guy, well, these things happen. She left town. It was too uncomfortable. God has a census where they have to leave and go to the city of David, Bethlehem. God's provision for them to be in a new place when this baby is born. Joseph has dreams, but they're his dreams. Now, when they heard this, you know that what had been said to them by angels is being confirmed. Look at this old man. He is telling us what we've heard before. Can you imagine what that would do to your soul? My soul rejoices in God, my Savior. Okay, let's skip a little bit here just because of time and go over to verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, And I like how they have her family roots here. The daughter of Phanuel. I think we say it like Samuel, but we say Phanuel. Of the tribe of Asher. Asher is one of what is considered the lost tribes of Israel now. But this gives her heritage, and that always speaks to me of a certain credibility to the story. We're going to tell you who this woman is and where she's from. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So a similar yet different person, story. I think this is beautiful, friends. We have a woman and we have a man. We have a woman and we have a man to whom God has gone inside. And he said, "You who trust me now can see my salvation." And they both recognize it as it's this person. It's this person. And she became an evangelist, did she not? You see how she became an evangelist. And she said to anyone who would listen, "That baby, that's the salvation of Israel. That baby, that's the special one. That's the Christ." Poor family, not a notable family, son and daughter of David both, but that's the baby. Pretty amazing. Hello. What am I doing wrong? Oh, thanks. So, what are we to make of this? Got a note last night from my brother. His sister-in-law could well die today. She's in Houston and she's on life support, and they have to decide whether to take life support off. I hope she's a believer. I don't really know, but I hope she is. For those who are, for Simeon and Anna, for those who are believers, the crossing over into the realm where Satan has no more dominion whatsoever and where Christ is all in all is a crossing over into bliss. Bliss. Paradise. Sue and I have had some tough losses in our life recently. For me, 3 brother-in-laws in just recent months. And here's what I say about them all. It would be robbery. It would be robbery to ask them to come back to this. And any death of a believer, it's robbery. I've heard people say, I don't know if I agree with this, but it's an interesting thought that when Jesus wept over Lazarus, one of his thoughts was, I'm going to bring him back to this. I don't know about that, but I know this. That when we pass over into the hands of the everlasting, the creator of a universe that is so beyond us. We're just the tiniest pinprick in this universe, and he is the Lord of all of it. This week, one of my favorite teachers, Chip Ingram, I listen to him a lot, he is talking about how he and I have a similar thing. We wake up at night and we've got all these spiritual things going on. And he said that what he lives in California, so he can do this. What he often does is when he wakes up and he's got all these things going on, he goes outside and he looks at the stars and he begins to take inventory. And he says, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed that God is the God who loves me. Friends, the God who loves you is the master and commander of this entire universe. And he says, when I recognize that, and this should help us, when I recognize that, then I recognize that my problems, which he freely admits, he's a guy that is so open about his brokenness, and I love that about him. When I recognize how great God is, then the worry over can he handle my problem, that's dealt with. He can handle it. He can handle it. And he will handle it. Anna and Simeon now live in paradise, in fullness of joy, forever. God bless them. He blesses us with their story. But his greatest blessing for them is that he paid the price for them. They were sinners. They needed a Savior. They were blessed to see him. One of the things that they would have known very well was the observance of Passover. And we we celebrate communion as the next Passover, the next phase, what Jesus instituted then. We celebrate it in order to recognize that everything we need for faith, hope, and love and salvation is provided. And we remember this, and there should always be a great sense of humility and reverence when we take communion. I've asked today that Chris and Derek distribute communion. You guys raring to go? Okay, come on up, please, and lead us in communion.